Let's begin. All right, we've come to the end of our Kachim Chabura. Two more Chaburas left. It's going to be a review of Kachim. Hopefully we'll see if to return to these. These are all my notes on the first 17 Shirim. So now we're going to have a review. Hopefully I can get through 17 of the Shirim tonight, and then the rest of them tomorrow night, next Monday night. And we'll have an overview of the basic Hakiras, the basic ideas we said, so we walk away knowing something from Kachim. The first Shir we talked about, why learn Kachim? Okay, why Bechlal learn Kachim at all? Isn't it just Hilchas Olam Mashiach, as the Gemara says? It's just something which is needed for the times of the Mashiach, right? What do you need to know it now? Why is the Gemara so concerned with it? So we talked a little bit about the topic of Hilchas Olam Mashiach, and what does it mean if something's for the times of Mashiach? Well, how's the ramification for us? And then we looked at different reasons why it makes sense to learn this topic, and that was based on the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim gave us numerous reasons. Number one, we discussed about the possibility of bringing Korbanos Bizman Hazeh. That we spend a lot of time, that there is such an option, that maybe nowadays we could still offer korbanos, maybe just a korban Pesach, it depends what we have, we're missing the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. There's all these different discussions back and forth, Chasam Sofer, Binyan Tzion, about the possibility of bringing korbanos nowadays. After that, another reason the Chafetz Chaim said is because studying, this is based on Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov in the Likutei Halachas, which is written by his student, Rabbi Nosson of Breslov, says that we study about the korbanos, because studying the korbanos is the study of how to recover yourself, right? Why? Because what's the korban? The korban is you supposed to see yourself as a replacement. The korban is you. The animal's you getting closer to God. So you're supposed to, karev, lekarev etzmacha, you're supposed to see yourself going forward towards God. And that's the whole point of korbanos. That's why you learn the topics. That's why Rabbi Nachman was very much into saying korbanos in the morning. Because you learn so much about yourself if you really understand what Korbanos is all about. I noticed if you go online to this website where they have every single Hasidisha group's Parsha sheet, you can print that before Shabbos. So the Biyan is on there. Biyan, a Parsha sheet, has been dealing with Korbanos for the last 25 Parsha sheets. It had a series on explaining the Korbanos, what you say in the morning. Okay, number three, the other reason the Chafetz Chaim gave is that since we can't bring Korbanos nowadays, this is as though we brought it. It's ke'ilu, we brought the korbanos itself. This is the only way to mekayim the mitzvah of being korbanos. We can't do it nowadays. It's based on a Gemara and Yuma we looked at. Fine. Next, the Gemara talked about the amount of people who know this topic well is actually dwindling, right? The numbers who know it well is dwindling, and therefore it's our job to maintain that, to keep it going, because we're not going to have experts in the field when the time comes. Another reason to learn Kachim is because so much of Sefer Vayikra is related to it. You're going to go through the Parshas of Vayikra, and you'll have a basic understanding. Lots of people could have a deep understanding of Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Lech Lecha. When you get to the Parshas by Vayikra, it's very tangential. It's quickly get to Chatas, get to Asham. By learning Kachim, you end up having a deeper understanding of the Torah Shebichsav. Next, it's an area of Torah study that we're all missing, says the Chafetz Chaim. And he says this idea that each mitzvah is related to each limb. So you're going to come up there, and each of us are going to be missing the Kachim limb within ourselves. It's going to be empty. It's going to be it's going to be like a flabby muscle. It's going to be worked on. Therefore, said the Chafetz Chaim, you need to work on it so you can rebuild it back up. And then, finally, the last reason is because it's a longing for the... It's the Pisul Yoshua, said the Chafetz Chaim. It's an expression of longing for the Mashiach. By studying Kachim, by studying Zvachim, Menachas Chul, and all that, you're expressing your will to have Tzipisa Yeshua. Okay? That was Shir number one, why learn Kachim. Shir number two, we talked about, took a then step back. One was the Hilchslam Shicha. Then we took a step back introduction, and we basically broke down, based on categories set up by Ravar and Lichtenstein, we broke up the Korbanos into five categories of Korbanos. Number one, there were things which were there for Moreh HaMikdash or Shmiras HaMikdash. Preserving or maintaining or keeping holy the Beis HaMikdash. Those are some aspect of the Avodah. That was one category. Number two, we saw stuff that was Kapara, atonement types of Korbanos. Number three, you have stuff which is Ritzoi, appeasement. That's a third category of Korbanos. Number four, you have stuff which is a Korban as a preparation for something else, leading towards another Avodah. And then you have, that's Mestama, that's the Korban every morning. Every morning, Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim, in the morning, you have the Talmud Shel Shachar is a preparation to get you to the rest of the Korbanos. Then you have a Korban that's a special event Korban, right? The Seir Lazazel or some type of special event. Once, the Shtei Alechem, the special event Korbanos that are brought for holidays or whatever. Setzer Ravar and Lichtenstein broke up the five categories of Korbanos. It's a different way of doing it. Raman didn't do it this way. It's a very interesting way of breaking up the Korbanos. And because of it, we were able to compile nice lists at the time. We looked at the first Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in Zvachim. If you look at the opening Mishnah in Zvachim, there's basically, we saw two levels over there. Okay, there's two levels. It's a very difficult Mishnah. If you're learning just the Mishnayos, it's the first hurdle why people get scared of Kachim. The whole Masechta isn't impossible. It's not like it's super impossible. It's that first Mishnah, which is just a little bit, it's hard to wrap your mind around it initially. But basically the premise of the first Mishnah works like this. There's situations where a bad thought totally ruins the offering. That's called a psul. It's totally puzzle the offering. However, it's totally puzzle. It's no good at all. Then there's situations where a bad thought will disqualify the offering to fulfill your obligation, but it still could be brought. That's another category. That's called lo al labailul mashem chova. If you have that split, the whole first Mishnah becomes easy, and the first few Gemaras and Zvachim are also easy. There's two levels. There's a korban that's ruined so bad that it's pasul, and there's a korban that's ruined to the extent it doesn't fulfill your obligation of what you were menadir to bring, what you promised to bring, menadir to bring, but however, it will satisfy, you could follow through the process of bringing this korban, right? That's lo alu labailim l'shem chova. Sometimes even the svarim, the achronim, if you're trying to go through kachim on achronim on kachim, you're going to have a tough time because they use this as an abbreviation. Lamed ayin, lamed beis, lamed ches. And you're wondering, what in the world? Labod l'chayim, what's it doing? It's lo alu labailim l'shem chova. Okay. The third shir was one of our hardest ones. We talked about kavana by kachim. What's the level? What does kavana do? When it comes to kachim, and we saw machlokis over there with regards to faulty kavana, is a improper thought by kachim, is that enough to invalidate the korban, or does it mamish need speech to invalidate the korban? How do you destroy a korban through words? Can the thought invalidate the korban through words, or do you need more? Do you need verbification? We then tie this into the machlokas by pigel. How does pigel work? Do you need to expressly state pigel, or could you think pigel? Rambam's shita in general is that pigel thought is not enough. You have to say it to ruin the pigel. Other achronim thought that Arishonim thought that no, that thinking is enough. Rambam was the opinion that thought is enough. That's his shita. That thinking it is enough to make a pigel. You don't have to say pigel. It's that you think. That's the whole basis of pigel. Growing up, we always thought that's what pigel is. Tosus and many other Rishonim thought, no, you actually need to verbalize what it is you're trying to ruin in order to ruin something. We then compare that to mitzvah srichas kavana and dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. We went off into tangents on both of those sugyas. Mitzvah srichas kavana. What does that mean, kavana? Do you need kavana in the mind, or do I need to express what my kavana is? The word kavana means kivun, direction. Doesn't mean intent. It's a big misunderstanding. Kavana means you just need to align your thoughts so you're in the right direction. Dvarim shebelev, einam dvarim. How do you make that work as well? If matters of the heart are nothing, how do you make the Rambam work? When Rambam said you could ruin the korban by thought alone. Dvarim shebelev, einam dvarim. So he said, what does it mean, dvarim shebelev, einam dvarim? And then we made a chilek, the famous Or Sameach, made a chilek that when you're using your thought to function as speech, then it's very powerful. If you're using your thought to function as speech instead of speech, meaning, let's say someone who can't speak, so their thought is going to have more credence than someone else's, because mamish, their thoughts are used to as in replacement for speech. We then went off and listened to the stiplers, a wonderful stipler on asking, how come every time we daven Shmon Esrei, we should be not counted for Shmon Esrei? Why? Our mind wanders off for a moment, that's a hefsek. The moment you have a hefsek in a Shmon Esrei, it should be ruined, right? So the stipler answered that in order to create a hefsek, you don't need a mind hefsek. You need a verbal hefsek. You need to actively destroy it. And then he comes up with a second answer, which is nogeya to us, that in order to create a hefsek with your mind, you need to have used your mind instead of speaking. When you thought some random thought that popped up in your head, it wasn't supposed to be used as speaking. That was a thought. Meaning thinking is only, hirhur is only dibor when you're intending to use your hirhur as the dibor. If you're not intending to use the thought as speech, then it's nothing. It's just something that passes in and out of your mind. It's a very esotistic stipler, very important. The fourth shir was the topic of machshava by kachim. As it was getting harder, we got a few, we were just killing people, one after the other. These were getting, then it got easy in the middle, it was too late. Okay, machshava by kachim, number four.
We lost the olive there.
Right.
The machshava dibor thing, does that apply to other mitzvahs as well, or just...
So we talked about that as well, the contrast between this and other mitzvahs.
Sfira, for instance.
So V'sefartem Lachem makes it its own category. Because Sfartem Lachem seems to tell you, even if you hold Hirhur Kedibur, that thinking, there's an idea that maybe by Sfiris Omer you need more than thinking, because it's V'sefartem Lachem, you should actively count. That's a whole discussion. There's a note of Yehuda on that. There's a famous truth with Rav Avadji Yosef about someone who fell asleep in the back of Maariv, and then they wake up and they don't know what they counted. They dreamt they counted one thing. The suffix is maybe when they dreamt they counted, they really were counting with the minion. That's what they were dreaming about. You know, when you sometimes you think you're dreaming, but really hearing someone else talk to you. So that's the interesting Rav Adya, wild tshuva. Okay, then we got to the topic of number four of Machshava by Kachim. This was, I think, the hardest year of the year. Zvachim 47a talked about how do we know that Misasek by Kachim is puzzle, right? Because it says Veshachat es ben Bakar lifnei Hashem, that it's got to be before Hashem, and you're in left field. If you're Misasek, you're not before Hashem. God knows where you are. So what is Misasek? So we said how we find three definitions in the Rishonim of Misasek. One, stop playing with the knife. Oh, look at this thing. Number two, intending to cut simanim, but not actually slaughter. And number three, intending for shechita, but we thought it was actually chulin. We didn't know it was actually kachim. So one and two, the playing with the knife or intending to cut simanim, but not slaughter, those are mistakes in the maisa. Number three is a mistake in the object. The maisa was good. It's the object. You had the wrong object in mind. So we made a chilik between maisa versus, you know, sort of gavra, chefsa versus gavra, so to speak. Okay, we said the issue here by Kachim, this was Ben's question, the issue here by Kachim of Machshava, is that an issue by Kol HaTorah Kula, or is that a local Kachim issue? The Nafgamina is whether it applies to all the four of the Avodas, or just Shechita. Does it apply to all four of the Avodas, or just Shechita? Because Shechita exists in other cases, besides Kachim. So that's a Machlokas Rambam versus the Ramban. Seems like the one and two, the playing with the knife and intending to cut simanim, are Kol HaTorah Kula issues. And classically by Shabbos, we know about those. Number three is intending for Shechita, but thought it was Chulin, is primarily a Misasek B'Kachim. Is a Misasek B'Kachim issue alone, exists nowhere else. That type of thing. Okay, so then we try to get even deeper into this. We understand Misasek, then where does Kavana play a role here? Like, how do those two shtim with each other? So we said, we know that even according to one who says Mitzvah Sein Tzrichas Kavana, Misasek is no good. It's even below that. It's sub-latent. Mitzvah Sein Tzrichas Kavana means I'm not having specific Kavana, but at least I'm with it. I'm in the game. I know what I'm doing. Misasek means I have no clue even what I'm doing. It's below even Kavana. So if you have a hierarchy, there's Kavana, there's no Kavana, and there's Misasek. It's totally in left field. So three levels, and we thought, for example, by shofar, you have Misasek by shofar, you have neutrals tokei lashir, just blowing it for the purpose of music, and then there's kavana, intent. Misasek is, I'm just, cleaning something out of my teeth, and the shofar starts faffing at that moment. Now, we then talked about, we're done with Misasek, we're done with kavana, we then stepped over into another difficult area, which was lishma. So the Karen Ora claimed that Kavana and Lishma by Kachim are the same thing. They're just synonyms. They're the same idea. Kavana that we know in general by mitzvahs is the same issue of Lishma. If you see a sugya and a sefer about Lishma by Kachim, don't get scared. That's Kavana. You know it by shofar, you know it by matzah. It's nothing to be worried about. Rav Aryeh Lichtenstein and his sefer thought maybe that not necessarily. And this was a great split. Lishma asks, what? Meaning, what am I doing? I'm offering an Ola for Bob. What am I doing? I'm offering an Ola for Bob. Kavana asks why. Why bring an animal now? Because the Torah commands that when you sin. You understand? That's a totally different way of looking at Kavana versus Lishma. Karen Ora said Kavana and Lishma are the same thing. Rav Aryeh Lichtenstein says, no, Lishma's answering, Kavana and Lishma are answering different questions. Lishma's answering, what am I doing? Kavana's answering, who asked me why? Like, why am I doing this? That's what Kavana is. We then said, you know what? Let's make Shalom Al Yisrael. You can take the Karen Ora, and you can take Rav Aryeh Lichtenstein, and we said, let's conclude with two levels of Kachim. You have Lishma as in Kavana, and you have Lishma as in Lishma in order to create a Chalos, or what am I doing? What I'm doing for Lishma. We had two different tracks, the Karen Ora's track, and the Rav Aryeh Lichtenstein's, and we put them both in one. Lishma, Kavana Lishma, and Lishma as in Lishma to create Chalos. Okay, then the next shir was the Machshava by Kachim, part two. And this one was a little bit easier, but still a tough sugya. How we saw from Tosfos, we saw from Zera Avram, we saw from the Shagas Aryeh, that Lishma by a Korban, Mamish defines the essence of the Korban. It alters and defines the essence of the Korban. So then we saw sugya on Zvachim Bezim Beis, famous sugya, one of those famous in Zvachim, where Stama Lishma is good by a korban. Why? If the Lishma is defining the korban, and Stama Lishma is good, A plus B equals C, you have to say that the Lishma must also be somewhere latent in the korban. Otherwise, it'd be no good. You understand? If Lishma defines the essence of a korban, and we paskin that Stama Lishma is fine by a korban, how do the two go together? So you have to say there's already a latent lishma when it comes to the korban. So therefore we came up with a chakira. The chakira we came up with is the lishma already existing in the gavra, meaning you as an individual, since you're coming there to the base of Migdash with a smile, with a knife and everything in your hand, there's the lishma. It's obvious and implicit from your behaviors that there's korbanos going on here. Or we said, no, it's got nothing to do with the way you're acting and behaving. Maybe the lishma that's already there, that allows the stomach to lishma be fine, is in the animal. It's in the cheftza. It's existing already in the fact that the cheftza was hukdash, was set aside for hektish. The lishma's already latent there in the object. That couldn't be a more semantical chakira in the world. But we found a bunch of nafkaminas from it. We used that chakir, went in a bunch of nafkaminas. The case of two who bring the korban together. We tied it into the idea of linking the chakira back into misasik and everything. Then we talked about the sugya of kol haroi labila. Anything which has the potential to be roi is good enough. He said, why should that be fine? We talked about katan and lishma was another nafkamina. We applied the same chakira to a get. We distinguished between get and kachim. That was the approach of the Chazanish. We talked about writing the Shem Hashem and using the same chakira. We talked about lishma and kolatar kula. We talked about machine made tzitzis. We talked about a korban yachid versus a korban sibor. We talked about kola osa al das rishona hu osa. We talked about how by zvachim you have the concept of shina alav akasav le'akev. And the Torah repeats it by kachim, it means it. It's showing you it's ma'akev. It's a rule by kachim. Then we talked about whether a machshava shlo lishma is puzzle or is it a chisaron hechsher. That was tied into this chakira also. Then we talked about the isra of lo yechashev. You shouldn't have faulty thoughts by the korban. We tied that also into this chakira. Is the lishma in the gavra or is the lishma latent in the chetza? Huge nafkaminas. What we saw over there, 14 nafkaminas probably. That's an important shir. If you're going to go back, if I can say the top three shir, that was one of the most important. It was a good shas shir. Then we talked in shir number 6 about the Purim and the Korban Toda. In that shir, we talked about Shlomim versus Korban Toda. What's the difference between the two? Hold on, I wanted to look something up. I didn't write it down. It was a chakira we used from Rav Abba Berman. I broke out that sefer, which was also very hard. One second and a minute. Yeah, here it is. Shlomim, right? The list of Shlomim you have, for example, you have the Shalmei Chagiga on each of the Shlosha Regalim. So all the males that go up, they have to bring a Korban Shlomim called the Shalmei Chagiga. The Shalmei Simcha, that's also attached to it. You have the Chagigas Arba Asar, every Erev Pesach, besides the Korban Pesach. The Bnei Chabura bring a Chagiga, that's also Shlomim. You have the Shalmei Bikurim. At times it comes out of Chiyav, at times it comes out of an Adava. The Shlomim is usually a Korban Yachid, except for one time. When the Shlomim is a Korban Sibor. The Sibor is the Kivsei Atzeres. In general, it's Kachim Kalim. Why is it called Shlomim? Because it brings Shlemus to the Olam, Shalom Le'olam. You have Vlad Shlomim. Okay, went through the basics of what the Shlomim is. We also saw that those are Shlomim. Korban Toda, though, are variations. Korban Toda are different than regular Shlomim. How? Shlomim don't need Lechamim, don't need the bread. Regular Shlomim is eaten 2 days and one night. Toda is eaten one day and night until Chatzos. The Toda has three names. You have Shalmei Toda, Toda Shlomim, and Astam Toda. And what's it brought for? We know it's brought for being saved from a miracle. Hatzolah Menes. They're not Chayev. It's a mitzvah to bring it. That's when they have to bring it. Okay, so we saw the different elements here of a Korban Toda versus a Shlomim. So then what happened afterwards was we did a special shiur on all the connections between a Korban Toda. What I did was I showed how the mitzvahs of the day of Purim, everything in the Torah is supposed to have, that the rabbis come up with, is supposed to have a Ke'en Daraisa. It's supposed to have an example in the Torah by which this was patterned after. Kol de tikkun rabbanan Ke'en Daraisa tikkun. Everything that was instituted Ke'en Daraisa. So we brought up the fact, Mishloach Manas, Matanas, Levyonim, where is the Ke'en Daraisa here? We brought up all these things of Purim. And in the end, what we said was that the Korban Toda is the Ke'en Daraisa. All the mitzvahs of Purim, Purim Day, are patterned after the Korban Toda. That's what we argued in that shir. Okay, the next shir talked about Korban Pesach versus other types of Achilas Korbanas. This is also a Yesodas Dik shir. This is the other critically important one. We asked, is the Korban Pesach one mitzvah or two mitzvahs? Right, is there a mitzvah to bring and achila? One mitzvah or two mitzvahs? That's a machlokes Rambam versus Rav Sajigon. We went through the Beis Halevi, who looked at a bunch of important distinctions between Korban Pesach versus a regular Korban. Meaning, once you say that there's a special mitzvah of achilas, you're always supposed to eat a korban when it's a korban that has achila, but it's not a separate mitzvah. Some korbanos have built into it that idea that you're supposed to eat it. But if you say the korban Pesach has a separate mitzvah of achila, what it's going to do is it makes numerous differences from a regular korban. For example, you now have a mitzvah to eat a full shear, which you might not have by other korbanos. Number two, raw meat would be allowed by a regular korban to eat, but not by this korban. Why? Because it's not considered an achila. It needs to be a real achila. The time frame is going to be altered. The chi of kares is affected. The kavana is affected. Once you say there's a real mitzvah of achila by korban Pesach, separate than the mitzvah of bringing the korban Pesach, it opens up a whole new world. We brought an important chasam sofer, and the Shalos Tshuvos chasam sofer. So the mitzvah of achilas kachim is only about not letting something become nosar. Very, very strange idea and critical. You hear this? The mitzvah of eating kachim. You know what the mitzvah of eating kachim is? Is just to make sure it doesn't
for
become leftover.
Also.
What? For whoever has the mitzvah of the chila that moment. You understand what that means? The only reason you eat korbanos in general is to make sure the korban's not left over. But by Korban Pesach, there's mamash a mitzvah achila, not just for the purpose of avoiding leftover. Some later achronim we saw were, sort of Asher Weiss mentioned this also, some later achronim were mechadesh the following, that by Korban Pesach, there are two mitzvahs. The mitzvah of eating, which is from v'achlu et v'basar b'layla hazeh, and then, number two, mitzvahs klolius shel achilas hazevach. There's two mitzvahs of achila within Korban Pesach. The special mitzvah of achilas Korban Pesach, and number two, the general mitzvah of achila that applies by Korban Pesach across the board. We found hints that Yesod and Nazir and Zvachim, and we dealt with Psachim, Gimel, and Beis, and the Kohanim who ate lechem upon him. It says they ate the lechem upon him, the size of a bean. So how does that work for those who need kazayas, right? So we saw different answers, but within this construct, it will work. That the only real mitzvah of achila is by Korban Pesach. By the other stuff, it's not a real din achila. So if the shear is small, who cares? It's not a big deal. Okay, there was like five or six different answers we saw on how to understand that Gemara, the Psachim Gimel Beis, that the lechem upon him, that they were passing around. It wasn't even the main point of the Gemara. The Gemara just talked about how while they were passing around the lechem upon him, the size of a bean, X and Y happened. It's the discussion there of Bedikas Chametz. Okay, next in the, we saw the sugya of Korban Pesach without being memana, without a reservation. You didn't make the reservations for the Korban Pesach. So what we did with that was we mentioned how Korban Pesach deviates from the standard form of korbanos. How? By the fact that an individual can participate in the korban without being involved in the hakdasha in any way. I had nothing to do with being makdish this animal, yet I could participate in the korban and fulfill some mitzvah. Only a Korban Pesach is like that. Usually, korbanos have a higher degree of rigidity. The person who, the owner who dedicated the animal, they're defined as the bala korban. They're the ones who get the mitzvah. Only they fulfill the mitzvah. If the animal is sacrificed on behalf of others, there's no chiyuv has been fulfilled. No one's permitted to jump on board after an initial hafrasha. Korban Pesach deviates from that idea. It goes on its own track. So we raised a great kasha. The kasha was, by assigning themselves to a korban, do these minuyim, these invitees, do they achieve a status which is similar to the bala korban? Or do the minuyim on the Korban Pesach have a different din? Are they like bailim on the korban? No, they're just being mishtatif in some kiyum. So that affects numerous areas. One nafkamina was the whole rationale behind minoy was affected of it. Number two, how you sign up was affected by it. Number three, the whole nature of proper of improper kavana for people who are non-minuyim. And number four, how you divide the meat among the different minuyim, that also be affected by this issue. Is a minoy, a person who got into the invitation list, is he like the bala korban or is he not like the bala korban? He's a separate kium. Okay. Then we moved over into the korban ola. We started to talk about korban ola. That was shir number 9. We talked about how the beginning of Vayikra goes right into korban ola. Tzav also does, jumps right into korban ola. Hi ola. The mizbeach itself is referred to mizbeach ola. It's also usually the korban of choice before Matan Torah is the ola. The tamidim, which bracket the whole day, are olos. They're olos. The exception to that is the korban Pesach, which basically has its identity more of a, as we pointed out, Korban Pesach is a Shmos Korban, not a Vayikra Korban. All other Korbanos are safer Vayikra Korbanos. Korban Pesach is a safer Shmos Korban. So what is it about this Korban Ola that makes it so central to everything? What is it about the Korban Ola? So the Ramban, Nachmanides, quotes the Torah's Kohanim that Rashi quotes and says, how do we know it? He says, maybe the Chayve Misa Shogegin, you should bring an Ola. So we said over there, the Rambam answers the Ritzoi and Kapara of Ola, he says at first, is similar to a Chatas. And then the Rambam does a 360. Rambam says this. A person who does a Maisa B'Shogeg, so they're still Ritzoi and LaHashem. They did it by accident. They're still basically good. He then brings up the here concept of Hirhor Evera and Ritzoi LaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning like this. Zvachim Zayin Amabez. This is important shir, this one. The one on Ola. Zvachim Zayin Amabez says that an Ola is a Doron. Chatas is coming to Mechaper, and it comes before the Doron. Doron's a gift. Because the Kapara should come before the gift. So we asked, how do you square away the concept of Venirtze with Doron? So we posed another Gemara, which was Zvachim Vav Min Aleph. Does an Ola work if the Aseh was skipped after the Afrasha? Do we say it's like a Chatas, the no does work? Or do we say, no, not similar, Chatas comes for each individual sin? So we said the following idea. This was the main idea about the Ola. What the Gemara seems to be getting at is that they're totally different. The Chatas is not about a flawed religious person. The Chatas is not because the person is a flawed religious person. It's Shogeg. Why is he bringing the Chatas? The Chatas is just there to neutralize the Maisa Avera. That's what a Korban Chatas is there. The Chatas is there to neutralize the Maisa Avera. This person is not a flawed person. The human being is fine. The Gavra is okay. He just has to get rid of this thing that he has in him that he did by accident. That's the idea. Okay, we talked about the Korban Ola is only offered for male animals. The Korban Chatas is only offered by female. And then we got off to a tangent. The Gemara in Yoma, Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, says, Hirhure Avera, Kashem Avera. Bad thoughts are worse than the thought it's the sin itself. But the problem with that is the Gemara in Kiddushin, I think it's Mem Amid Aleph, says, Machshava Ra Eina Mitzaref Lamaisa. A bad thought doesn't count as action. So how do you square those two away? Hirhure Avera are worse than the Avera. Machshava Ra Eina Mitzaref Lamaisa. Which one is it? Is it bad or is it not a way? There's 100 answers over there. The answer we saw is the Shem Shmuel solution. He made a distinction between Lev and Moach. The difference between, something that just pops up in your head is one thing. But once you mamish concretize it, then you've taken it to a whole new level. So here Hurim is different than Machshava. Machshava is a thought that pops into your mind. What can you do? Nothing you can do about it. Hirhurim are mamish, you're letting it sink in. You're doing hashava el alev, and that's much worse. That's why hirhur aver, kashem aver. Then we talked about malichas hakorban, salting a korban. So we asked, is malicha a din in hechsher korban? Is it machshir the korban? Or is it a din that every korban is supposed to have salt? You understand? Is the salt hechsher, one of the hechsherim to the korban? Or is there a din that every korban is itself supposed to be brought with salt? Supposed to be a salted korban. So we pointed out Yosef Engel himself was unsure. He was nistopic about this. He just didn't know. It seems from the pasuk itself. The pasuk in the Torah says, Al kor korbanecha takriv melech. Every korban should come with salt. That to me sounded like the second side. It's not what's matir the korban or the hechsher of the korban. Just any time you bring a korban, you got to bring salt with it. Okay, it sounds like the second side. So we looked at different diyukim we made from the Rambam. One, whether it's me'akev or not me'akev. Number two, Rambam had a chiddush of zevach korbanos versus menachos with regards to salting. He wanted to point out there's a difference between the two. And then we discussed whether or not a zar could do the malicha. That would also chap a nafkamina from here. Based on what the status of the malicha. Is the malicha a hechsher? Or is the malicha just some side thing that's being done along with the korban? If it's mamash the hechsher of the korban itself, I can't envision how the czar could get away with doing it. The next shir talked about the korban asham. We asked, is the korban asham more closely related with the chatas? Or is it more closely related to an Ola? Who's its cousin? Who's its closer cousin? So we argued both sides of the coin to make it similar to Chatas, to make it more similar to a Korban. We went through five Kashas over here. They went through five Kashas. The Gemara actually has an Ibayilahu. What comes first? The Dam of the Ola or the Dam of the Asham? Maybe the Dam Ola should come first because it's totally Khalil, it's totally consumed. Or maybe the Ashram should come first, the Gemara says. So the way we have it is, Rashi says, Shadam Ashram Kodem de Mechaper. Dam Ashram comes first. Why? Because it's Mechaper. That means it's more like Ola or Chatas. Which one is Mechaper? Chatas. Then we had another gear, so we looked at the Shitu Mekubetzis, had the other gear, so it says, the Ashram comes first. Why? Because the Kaasi Mekoach de Mechaper. Meaning the chiyuv to bring it is because it's a need for kapara. That's the mechayev. And we said, what's the Shita Mekubetzis doing differently with this girsa? Sounds so similar to Rashi. So I quoted from Rav Shalom Rosner. Rav Shalom Rosner is a Rav now in Beit Shemesh. So he had suggested that it's coming from the same place as Chatas, but what it's saying is, process-wise, it then goes in the direction of Ritzoy HaGavra, like Ola. It starts off like a Chatas. It's coming from, what's generating it is Chatas. But what it does is Ritzoy HaGavra. Right? That's bottom line. Ola is Ritzoy. Ola is to make me good again with God. Chatas is Kapara. You're good with God. Let's say that again. Chatas, you're good with God. Doesn't mean you and God are fine. It's just you ate poison by accident. You got to neutralize it. Whether you meant to hurt anyone or not, or yourself, you didn't mean to. That's a Chatas. An Ola says, I've made a breach in the relationship. I need to appease God. That's an Ola. What an Asham is, what we're saying now, is it starts like a Chatas. I'm doing it because I need Kapara. But what it actually achieves is Ritzoy HaGavra. We proved that from a bunch of areas, this unique hybrid. We proved it from where the Mokom Zrika Sadam is. We proved it from the Yesod by Chatas is... The discussions by Chatas in general in the Torah are basically different than the discussion of Yesod by Asham. Then we looked at a way to solve this debate is Asham Taloi, because an Asham Taloi is a korban that's brought was when one is unsure if they violated a karis or not. So that can't be on the Maisa Avera. You can't bring a korban on a Maisa Avera that you're not sure of. You understand? It's there. What's it meaning? In order to get forgiveness, or in order to neutralize a Maisa Avera, you have to know that the Avera is there. If you're not sure, what are you doing? You didn't do anything. But if it's there to make good between you and God, I understand the function of it. I understand why it'll work. I understand the Ritzoy side of it. Okay, the next year we talk about a whole different way of looking at Hashem. Just to review of our Karbanah. Let's review our Karbanahs. Shlomim makes peace with you and the whole world. Shlomim is like the bulk of Karbanahs could be Shlomim. It's usually Kachim Kalim. It's a nice one. It's usually offered voluntarily, sometimes obligatory, but not so much. Okay? It's usually a Korban Yachid, a Shlomim. Fine. Put that away. Korban Chatas is there to achieve Kapara. That's the Chatas. Chatas Kapara. Okay? Not that you're a bad person. There's nothing wrong between you and God. Just you by accident, you ate poison, so you got to fix that. Then the Ola is there for Ritzoy, for appeasement. The Asham, based on what we're saying, the guilt offering is somewhere in between the two, somewhere between Ola and Asham. It's coming because there was a Mechayev, there was something you did wrong. But at the end of the day, what it's coming to do, it's there to achieve a certain sense of Ritzoy. It has elements of both. The other way we looked at the Asham was as follows. What's unique about Chatas, this is important as far as Hilchas Chatas, what's important about Chatas is that you have blood on four corners. Why? In order to mechaper or machshir, one of the two. And that's why you need all four corners. You want to achieve total cleanliness. You want to wipe something out totally. What's unique about an ola? Totally burned. It's a daron laHashem. What's unique about shlamim? Some of it that's given is to be eaten by the owner. So there's a simcha element. What's unique about Asham? You know what's unique about Asham? Take a guess. Nothing. There was nothing unique about an Asham. So we pointed out there's three areas of an Asham. Number one, you have Me'ila, Shvuas HaPikadon, and Shivcha Charufa. In all of those three, the sinner was Mechalal something, Be'ein. He desecrated something physical. Me'ila, he defiled consecrated objects. Shvus ha'pikadon, he defiled the name of God because he lied. Shifra charupa, by sleeping with her, you were mechal the kedusha specific to her and her husband. There was a chil that was created. Then we look at the other category of asham. Mitzora and nazir shenitma. Those cases, there reflects holiness that was nischalel, that was ruined. That's what happened there, holiness that was ruined. The chi of chatas, asham toloi, that might be a separate category. We'll leave this aside. Asham toloi might be more chi of chatas oriented than asham. That's what we argued in this shir. So what was this new theory of what an asham is? The new theory of what an asham is that it signifies status change. Some status has changed, fix it. That's what an asham is. If you want to define what an asham is, it's there to affect a status change. And I showed you that through a shvuas that we call the mesheker, through the bias shivcha charufa, through the nazir shemenitma, through the mitzora shibolatayr, and a mesupak. So bottom line, by the other korbanos, the entire maisa avoda is what helps it achieve its purpose. God is watching a process. By the korban asham, the bringing it itself is the rectification. By every other korbanos, it's the process. By the asham, it's the fact that it's brought directly to God. And then we look to the possibility of asham being a punishment, because it's expensive. Asham was very expensive. So you have three things you need to know about asham, I would say, bottom line. Number one, asham is maybe a hybrid between chatas and ola. Number two, maybe you could say what's unique about asham is there, it's because it's there anytime some status has been changed. Some kedusha has been mechala. Some shift has happened. That's what asham is there for. And number three, the focus by the asham is not the maisa avoda, but in the result that an asham was brought. That's clear about an asham. Those are the three main points to know about an asham. Okay. Now we have tadir and mekudesh. That's next sugya. Sugya number 13. Tadir and mekudesh. So the Gemara in Zvachim 90b asks which one of these modes takes precedence. Tadir kodem, or kol hamakudesh mechaver or kolim eschaver, whatever's holier comes first. Which one comes first? The Gemara leaves it as a bayad de lo ifshita, the wrong grammar. Bayad de lo ifshita. No, it's ifshita. Pashit. Ta. Bayad lo ifshita. It was a bayad de lo ifshita. Safer to just have a svardi. Just safe all the time. Bayad de lo ifshita. A question that was unanswered. So the Rambam says in Tamidim Musafim, Yakdim ezu mehem shiirta. Allow whichever one you want to come first should come first. The Bartanura says Tadir should beat out Makudash. That's how the Bartanura passes. The Machlokas Ram and the Bartanura. So the Taz discusses the sugya at length in Or Chaim 681, and he says that Tadir is before Makudash. Why? Doesn't the Gemara leave it unpaskind? So he answers, because we know in general, Tadir Kodem. It's a famous rule across the board. Tadir Kodem. Shagasaria thought he didn't know where the Taz was getting it from. Shagasaria said, on the contrary, nothing beats Makudish. The holiest of all, the holy thing should come first. That's based on Psukim. So the Achronim point out that while Zvachim may leave it unsolved, it's an unsolved mystery in Zvachim, in Menachos it's not unsolved. In Menachos 49b, the sugya clearly there falls on the side of Tadir. It errs on the side of Tadir. Then we saw a beautiful idea from the Ratzke Tzvi, Tzika Reisman, based on Ratzvi Pesach Frank. Ratzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi says there's two types of mitzvahs. One mitzvah is the mitzvah that a person does, but it's external to them. And the other one's a mitzvah that happens to a person. So the Ratzvi Pesach Frank said when the person's directly involved, then we say Mailin Bekodesh, as opposed to Kol HaMakudesh first. Mailin Bekodesh, go up. So the Ratzke Tzvi, volume 1, page 44, said, meaning, Kol HaMakudesh Mechavero, Kodem Eschavero, is strictly talking about the mitzvahs themselves, when you got to select. But when we're talking about the person, the individual, the Gavra has to go step by step. Meaning, when putting on, let's say, Talis and Tefillin. Tefillin is certainly holier than Talis. You put on your Talis first. Why? Because that's going on the Gavra. When it's going on the Gavra has to go step by step. It's too much.
Theoretical and practical?
What?
In other words, there's a theoretical, which is...
I don't know if it's theoretical or practical. I think it's when you're faced with two mitzvahs that are not going to be on the Gavra, then you got to go with the holier one first. I got to bring two korbanos. I got to go with the holier one first. That's when Kol HaMakudesh will come first. But when it's happening to me, it's an experience that's happening to me, then I got to go with the... Mailin B'Kodesh. We discuss quantity versus quality, and we discuss what do you do when you have a clash between Deraisa and Derabanan. Let's say you assume Tadir comes first before Mekudesh. What do you do if you have Mekudesh and Daraisa against a Tadir Derabanan? Right? We tried playing with all these permutations and all that. Okay, then we saw a nice Svara of Rav Willig. What did we talk about? Rav Willig said how Zvachim 91a, the Raya over there to Mekudesh, was pushed aside. Why? Because we saw this line in the Gemara, Ahani. And to keep a long story short, Rav Willig posed what you have is the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. The Yerushalmi seems to be accepting Tadir as the main, and rejecting the Bavli seems to be stranded between the two. We have a bottom line psak from the Yerushalmi, but not from the Bavli. And then the Shagas Aryeh points out the following. Shagas Aryeh says the Yerushalmi equates two types of Tadir. Okay? This is a good split between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. Yerushalmi has two types of Tadir, which are the same. Tadir of putting X before Y, meaning Yayin before Kedushas Hayom Bracha. That's one level of Tadir. And then there's Tadir where one's going to happen and one won't. Like, for example, a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir. Meaning, when I got to give someone and not the other. So we give it to the Tadir. Tadir comes. So the Shagas Aryeh says, the Yerushalmi seems to say, those are both the same Parsha of Tadir. Either way. You understand? Even when both is going to happen, or only one could happen. Bavli doesn't want to make that connection between the two Tadirim. What is it? Someone help me there. We need Bella for this one. Two Tadirim. We don't make that connection between the two Tadirim. They're totally separate worlds. Okay. Next shir number 14. That shir was about the Shvichas Shirayim. You have by Achatas. The idea by the first Chatas mentioned in the Parsha of the Torah is a par Kohen Gadol. After the Kohen Gadol is done pouring the blood on the corners, he puts the Shiare Hadam on the Yesoda Mizbeach. And that's true by other Chatas as well. In contrast to all other korbanos, you have Zrikas Adam, but you don't have Shvichas Shirayim on the Yesod. You don't have pouring the remnants on the Yesod. So we talked about how there's a major distinction of Shvichas Yesod by Chatas and other korbanos. What goes on by other korbanos? A special din by Chatas. We pointed out a special chiddush also at the end of this, that that there are five shitas in the Rishonim as far as Shvichas Shiare Chatas. One, we saw Maharam Mifantasia. Fantasia. Remember that was quoted in Tosfos. Maharam Mifantasia. He says that there's no chiyuv to leave over dam. There's no mitzvah of shiray adam. Just by a chatas, it's impossible not to have leftovers. Why? Because you're doing everything with your finger, with the etzba. So there's so much blood left. That's why there's a shvichas shiray adam by chatas. That's a very radical shita. Then we saw Shita's Tosfos. His shita was that by all korbanos there's a chiyuv to leave over dam for shvicha. All korbanos. Just it's mentioned in context of chatas. That's also a radical shita. Shita's Rashi and perhaps the Rambam is by the korban chatas is a chiyuv to mishayer dam, but not by the other korbanos. By Roshita's Rabbeinu Ephraim is that there's no mitzvah of shvicha liyasod klal by zvachim except for chatas. And there were other shitas arrived, which was a complicated one, not for now. Next shir number 15, was the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. This is a classic shir, a classic chakira, whether the kelim are part of the same mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, or the kelim are a separate mitzvah or not. We saw machlokes Rambam versus Ramban, and we gave two hesberim to the machlokes, whether or not the kelim are part of the mikdash or not. Is it primarily a house for avoda, or is it primarily a house for the shechina? That ties in nicely to the way the Ramban understood that the purpose of the Mishkan was supposed to be a replica of Har Sinai. Is it Shechina or Avoda? Same machlokas. The Nafkaminas are, what if you have a Beis HaMikdash without Kalim? Number two, do the Kalim need to be made by Yom? And number three, does the Mishkan need Lishma? Those are three major Nafkaminas. Then we had a guest share from Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman. That was the first time we introduced the important idea of having unlimited kosher delight hamburgers at that share. And that's where he talked about women and building the Beis HaMikdash. So there in that shir, Rabbi Feldman quoted the Rambam in Hilchas Beis HaBechira. Ein bonen es HaMikdash b'layla. You don't build the Beis HaMikdash b'layla. Shenamar uvayom hakim et HaMishkan. That by the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, so we asked, but Binyan Beis HaMikdash, wait, and the Rambam also said, who builds? HaKol chayavim livnot. Everyone has to build. Anashim v'nashim. Everyone, men and women. So the classic question that he raised is, why are women obligated in Binyan Beis HaMikdash? It's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. You don't build it on Shabbos, no yontif, ein bonin belayla. Many reasons. So Rabbi Daniel Feldman gave a bunch of answers. Number one, he quoted the Stipler. Why? Because the Stipler says that since, as we said, it's iser to build at night, but not puzzle. It's not puzzle at night. You're just not supposed to do it. So therefore, it means that it loses its time-bound element. Number two, we saw the Ma'arit in Kedushin 29a, that sugya by Ma'ake, the mitzvah of Ma'ake. So we know it's a mitzvah aseh she'ein grama, and yet you can't build it on Shabbos. You can't build it on Shabbos. Why? So since the kiyum never goes away, it never loses the fact that it's a mitzvah aseh not being a mitzvah she'ein grama. So, meaning, and all hachanas, relating it to here, all preparation were fine at night. It's just the building that was the problem. So the kiyum is never lost. The nighttime is never really eliminated from being, it's never taken off the table. Then the munkacher, the minchas alazar, gave a reason that the mitzvahs that are shaychus larova am is the masses were only involved in the assisting and the helping, the siyua, the hachana. That's what she's included on. Number four, Minchas Elazar, to give another answer, he says, mitzvah saseh shazman grama. We don't say that when there's just a pause in the mitzvah. By tefillin, the mitzvah stops at night, and each day is a new mitzvah. By binyan beis hamikdash, each day is not a new mitzvah, binyan beis hamikdash. It's just you pause. You're not supposed to aim bonin balayla, for whatever reason. But it's not a new mitzvah each day. Minchas Elazar gave a different reason. By the Mishkan, it says, kol isha chachma slave. That's a giloy. The pasuk is being megala that it breaks the rules of regular time boundedness. Minchas Elazar gave a different reason. Maybe we don't say the patur of mitzvah saseh shazman grama by kochim. Big chiddush. Maybe the whole concept of women being exempt from positive time bound never existed by kochim. Never existed by kochim. Then Rabbi Feldman gave his own chiddush, his own twist at the end to answer the problem. He said there's a chakira as to whether the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash is in each on every yachid. Okay? Rambam sounds like it's on the yachid. Or is it on the tzibur? Qasim Sofer says it sounds like it's on the tzibur because Bezalel was operating based on shlichas for the nation. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina, that famous question, is minors. So if it's yachidim, individuals, then minors should be exempt. Another nafkamina would be...
Wasn't Bezalel himself a minor?
What?
Wasn't Bezalel himself a minor? Wasn't he
8 years? Ooh, very good. Great hara. Another nafkamina would be if you make people mevatel Talmud Torah for building. Another nafkamina, if it's on Yechidim or Tzibur, is our issue, Rabbi Feldman said. If it's on each and every Yachid, maybe then they're exempt. Al Tzmitzis Aseh Shazman Groma. But if it's based on a Tzibur, maybe women are included in the defined Tzibur. So it's Shayach even to women. So, fine. One more idea. We saw general machlokus over whether building the Beis HaMikdash is about making a bayis lavoda or gilui shechina, Rambam versus Ramban. If the purpose is to bring korbanos, then the building is just a hecha timsa. Therefore, it's not on each and every individual. So you could tie all that together in tonight, one night in these package. The last shir we'll mention tonight, and this will stop, is the mitzvah. This is shir number 17, as I said we get to, is the mitzvah to build in Aron. So the Medrash Rabbah says, why suddenly by this kli of the Aron does it say va'asu? So Rabbi Yehuda Bereb Shalom says in the Gemara that Hashem is saying that all should come and be involved in the Torah. That's the idea, because the Aron's holding the Torah. Everyone is supposed to be mishtatev to the Torah. The Medrash Tanchuma says Bezalel did this one himself. So what is it? A steer as to who did this? The Tzibur or Bezalel? So there's different pshatim on that pasuk. We saw the Or HaChaim, we saw the Kli Yakar, we saw the Pardes Yosef, Dasakanim. The Dasakanim said Va'asu is written here. Why? Because all are chayiv because of the Kavodat Torah that's in it. Therefore, Hashem commanded them all to be misasik, so they could all get reward. Ramban says so that they should all be zochet to Torah. The Asik here is not that they should build, but Tzal is going to build, but they should keep giving whatever he needs to make this Aaron work. the Or HaChaim gave a different shot. Maybe it's sending to the fact that the Torah can't survive except in a klal. Beautiful idea. Torah survives only in klalas kol Yisrael. And no one person can keep the entire Torah. For example, there are Kohanim who can't fulfill the mitzvah of Matnas Kahuna. We each fill in each other's gaps. A beautiful idea. We each fill in each other's holes. The Torah survives by the klal, because we each fill in each other's lack. The Pardes Yosef said the idea of only by a partnership of Yisachar and Zvulun could Torah survive. And that was his pshat in Borei Nefashos Rabot V'Chesronan. Why mention God who gave us our lack? Because each of us has a chisaron. This one's lacking Parnasa, this one's lacking in Torah, but everybody completes each other. So therefore, the commandment to make the Aron is Va'asu and not Va'asisa, because the Torah is telling you to be mashlim each other. We saw the Chasam Sofer, who said the reason why an Aron wasn't built in the Second Temple, because the Aron was only needed for one reason. You know why you need an Aron? So that Hashem could communicate with Moshe about the Kruvim. Once that wasn't there, there was no need for the Aron. That's what the Chasam Sofer said. Lubavitcher Rebbe says the Aron was critical, but it wasn't critical for the Beis HaMikdash. It was critical in its own right. It's separate. And he said it's based on the Tzafnas Paneach, who says that the Aron was not a Klei Sharis. It was not one of the Klei Sharis. So even though it added Kedusha to the Makom, it wasn't as far as Klei Sharis. And what's the proof, said the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Rambam doesn't put it in Hilchas Beis HaBechira. That's not where he has the Hilchas of the Lachas of the Aron. It's left out over there. And therefore you see, it's not a din in the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron. Then we saw Rav Soloveitchik in Letters to His Father, page 181, that the whole Chalos Shem Aron is only with the Luchos. And therefore, by the bias Sheni, since there was no Luchos, there's also no Aron. You understand? The Chalos Shem Aron is only with the Luchos. Where there's no Luchos, no Aron. And the Kol Asiya Shel Aron, Eino Kiyom Shel Mikdash. It's not Kiyom Mikdash, it's Kiyom Luchos. Without Luchos, without the Chefze Luchos, there's no Chefze of Aron. There's no function, there's no purpose of it. The Klesharis are a din in Makom Mikdash. Okay, Meshech Chochma is a similar idea. We looked at a Rashash in 53a, who seems to disagree. One more idea, with this we close, that based on this, we have a sharper pshat in the original Medrash. By the other Kalim, which had a din clay mikdash, you have va'asisa. It's a direct charge. Va'asisa, you should make. But by the Aron, which wasn't clay a mikdash, that's why it's va'asu. Clay a mikdash, leave to you, individual, but salal, whoever's working. Something which is not defined as clay a mikdash is going to be va'asu. That's the idea we threw out there to explain that concept. Okay, that's the first 17 shiurim. God willing, next week we'll get to the next 17 or 18 shiurim to finish up our kachim review.